Welcome, everyone, to episode 30 of the Business of Sport. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are at episode 30. What a ride it's been so far. As always, my co-host, Mr. Rob Yale, joins me on the show. Rob, welcome to the show, buddy. Big number 30. What a ride it's been.
How about that? That's a nice landmark. We've had a lot of fun, covered a lot of topics, and I don't see the business of sport slowing down any. So we got at least another 30 plus ahead of us, my friend.
It's picking up. It's picking up as always. And what a week it's been. Big news, big news that's come through over the last 24 hours. The 49ers owners to take full control of Leeds United. Sale approved, sealed, done deal by the English Football League. It's finally happening.
Yeah, that's been obviously the 49ers, you know, had a minority stake in Leeds, and with the you know, their relegation to the EFL Championship, that triggered a sale from the primary ownership group, and they moved in and have taken full control of the club. And you know, you'll see my good friend Parag Marthay inserted as the chairman for Leeds. And you know, Parag is you know, one of the chief principals of the 49ers, and you know, he's been obviously very involved in the Leeds transaction. And so it's another American ownership into British football, and it will be hopefully, you know, a positive move for Leeds as they look to promote back up, you know, next season. But should be some interesting synergies across the board. Obviously, lots, you know, we've got the NFL playing in the UK three times this year. The 49ers will probably you know, use that that relationship and you know, NFL muscle to help promote and market the club. But also, I think you'll see some additional you know, kind of, you know, strategies very similar to what you see in American football being applied to, you know, the commercial side with Leeds, and I think that'll be important. You'll probably see a few more you know, cross promoted you know, partners. You know, Levi's is the stadium partner over there, and in Santa Clara with the stadium, maybe you start seeing a lot of Leeds United lads running around in some Levi's dungarees and stuff. So you know just conceptually, I think, you know, it's economies of scale. We've seen that with other American ownerships, with you know, when the Glazers owned, they still own Manchester United. Obviously, you got Todd Boehly, you know, owns the Dodgers and now owns Chelsea. You see some, you've got Shad Khan, who owns the Jaguars, who owns Fulham. So you see, you've got some synergies already. Fenway Sports Group owns Liverpool, which owns obviously Boston Red Sox. So you see some synergies in there. You know, Leeds now gets to take advantage of that. And, you know, hopefully the, you know, the squad can get back up to the Premier League, because obviously we know that's a significant bump in the valuation.
For sure. So let's break this down a bit. Last month, Andre Radrazzani, who was the initial owner who fought with Leeds all the way from relegation all the way to promotion, and then brought in the 49ers and so on and so on, he agreed to sell his majority share at $209 million. Previous to that, the 49ers owned 44%, and they said that 44%, had they stayed in the Premier League, could have been worth $600 million. Wow. So that, based off those numbers, the team was worth pretty much, over $1 billion.
Well, look, we've seen, you know, those top tier EPL clubs, you know, go for, you know, several billion. You know, we're seeing, saw Chelsea go for over almost five, about five. Manchester United is rumored to be running around the $6 billion range. So, you know, and Newcastle had a nice, nice bump with their new ownership jumping in. I mean, so, you know, hey, it's, you know, values are going up, you know, viewership's going up, you know, the English soccer in general, Premier League is the creme de la creme, you know, globally in the marketplace. So look, you know, for Leeds, it's a, I should say for the 49ers, a timely relegation to acquire, you know, control and ownership as they go down, implement some of their strategies, their personnel, their structure, get that ship righted and promote back up within a year's time is the plan. And then you got a nice little boost on your investment as the majority owner of the club. So, you know, power lies within the man with cash, you know, at the end of the day. So they, took advantage of the opportunity. And again, obviously that opportunity, you know, doesn't bump immediately if they don't, you know, promote up next year. Obviously that's the goal and the plan, but, you know, nothing's guaranteed, but that's certainly something that, you know, you can watch closely, but the, you know, for me, you know, we'll watch how they, you know, what are some of the commercial deals that get done? You know, is there any, you know, staff, you know, restructure with, you know, commercial director and down? I think philosophies are going to be put in place. Obviously, there is the relationship with Elevate, which is a, you know, an entity, sub-entity of the 49ers group. So you'll see, see them get involved, you know, just to expand, you know, the sales footprint, you know, with that group, take a, you know, start taking a look at the, you know, renovations to Ellen Road, and does Ellen Road perhaps have a name on it by this time next year? You know, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's an iconic stadium that's been around English football for many, many years. I remember growing up watching Harry Kewell and Mark Viduka playing there, and you know, being an Aussie, that was I used to go for Leeds. So until Harry Kewell moved to Liverpool, and then he took me with him. So interesting. So if they were to come back to the Premier League, it would be an amazing investment, return on investment. I mean, what a bump!
Absolutely,
what a bump that would be. All right, let's see the way all this plays out. It's going to be an interesting cross promotion between football and European football, soccer and football in America. A premier NFL team, and you got a soccer team in Europe that's just been relegated. And could Leeds United become America's most loved club, overtaking Wrexham FC? Maybe. We'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, obviously we had, three high-profile Americans, member of our men's national team on the squad. We've seen one get transferred. We're still discussions on where Aronson and Adams end up, but we'll see. But obviously, having some high-profile Americans, having American ownership, we'll probably see some other. You know, young American talent maybe end up there. It'll be quite interesting, but certainly fun to watch, and, you know, wishing the best to our friends at the 49ers as they embark as the majority owners of the club.
Absolutely. All right. We're staying on football/soccer. FIFA threatened the blackout of the Women's World Cup in Europe. Wow. So here's a bit of backstory. This is the first time FIFA has separated the female football rights from the male football rights. And their goal was to obtain global broadcast fees of about $300 million. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get there. They got closer to the $200 million. And part of the reason is the European market let them down a bit because of the time difference between Australia, New Zealand, and Europe. So it's going to be very hard for them to engage audiences during that time. But in the US, I mean, Fox is doing very, very well. They had strong ad sales. They sold out 90% of their inventory by June, and they've done 50% more than the 2019 tournament because it works really well for a morning slot in the US, which is an evening slot in New Zealand. Yeah. So it works a lot better than what it did with Europe. And yeah, but I'm quite surprised at the fee targets, because I would have thought it was a bit more. There's been a lot of talk and hype around women's football. Should we have seen the 300 million reached?
Well,
based on commercials here, not feelings. We're talking about
business. No. Again, you know, yeah. I always say, you know, the market always speaks, right? Yeah. It's one of the reasons when we're involved in selling any property, we like to get, you know, third party analytics involved and take any emotion or personal feelings out of it. And really, you know, get that objective, you know, look at it. I would say in this case, you know, you alluded to probably the primary reason is, you know, it's going to be middle of the night, you know, broadcast times in Europe, you know, for those teams, you know, the Lionesses and the, you know, the French club and et cetera, that, you know, that they're playing, you know, an early evening, you know, game, a match over in New Zealand or Australia, then it's, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning, something like that, you know, in England. Look, watch parties will still happen, but, you know, it's still not the audience that you'd want. You're not getting a lot of high profile, you know, engaged audiences at that hour. And so, you know, ultimately, you know, that does hurt. I mean, that's certainly something that FIFA needs to understand when factoring in, you know, the World Cup rights. You know, obviously they separated them out this year, and maybe this was probably the one year you kind of still keep them bundled with, you know, given that you've got France and you've got, you know, USA and, you know, and New Zealand, you know, women's World Cup coming. So at the end of the day, you know, look, brands, you know, and advertisers and rights holders, you know, are businesses. They got to make sound, you know, business decisions. I mean, so they're, you know, there's not a real reason to overpay for rights when you're not going to be able to get the return from the advertiser. I mean, I'm sure that they, you know, they would have paid $300 million if they could have justified the number. And it doesn't have anything to do with the popularity of the women's game. Obviously, it sells out here in the U.S. because we've got a team going for their third consecutive World Cup title. So, you know, everybody loves the winner, right? And we're kind of in that, you know, we're in a soccer crazed mode right now, leading up to 2024 Copa America and certainly the World Cup in 26, Olympics in 24. You know, we've got all kinds of buzz around the game. You know, so, you know, naturally, and to what you mentioned is accurate. You know, we got morning games. People are going to watch, you know, their routine's not totally disrupted. And Fox can run the numbers and justify their, you know, their rate card. So, you know, I try not to make it too political or too, you know, personal, or, you know, this is a gender related issue. It's not. It's just you know, we talk about business on this show. And I mean, that's a straight business decision being made by people, you know, that have to look at the numbers. I mean, you know, you don't make bad business decisions to appease someone's, you know, feelings. And, you know, and that's, those are just the facts. And, you know, guys like you and me, we'll still watch it because it's our job and it's what we do, and we'll work around it. But, you know, that casual fan or that, you know, even that passionate fan may just, you know, maybe, you know, recording that game and watching it, you know, a little bit later, if it's the type of result that they like, if their club loses and they, you know, but, you know, it's, you know, I've always thought that the World Cup is such a great, you know, destination event. I mean, you know, Australia, New Zealand. If I was European, Australia, New Zealand is one I go to, as opposed to, you know, wait for it on TV. That's what, you know, it's not that far. It's not, you know, not that difficult a flight. I mean, that's a crazy flight from here, but we got favorable TV times. So,
talking more about the actual event, I mean, what we're seeing in Australia and New Zealand is Australia's sold 1.5 million tickets. New Zealand, they're struggling. They're really struggling. They're like 300,000 short. So it's really interesting to actually see, even though New Zealand's moved the US women's team there, FIFA's made sure that a lot of the US women's teams games are played in New Zealand because of the time zone with the US, they're struggling to sell tickets. It's really mind-boggling, honestly. Like, I'm very, very shocked at the fact that they're struggling so much.
You need to get you on a plane and fly over there, my friend. I mean, it's just a little hop. Get a little Qantas hopper over there and go see if you can give them some advice and help them out. I mean, you know, again, at the end of the day, I don't know that the American soccer fan is going to travel that 14, 15 hours to New Zealand. The parents and the families of the players probably end up going, but Sam's Army, we've just gone through, you know, a Gold Cup and a Nations League, two back-to-back tournaments with the men, and obviously lots of games been, you know, going on here. And you've got an Olympics right after this in France. There's probably people going, hey, I'm going to go to the Olympics versus going down to Australia. I mean, economies, you know, dictate what your discretionary income. And I get, you know, that's a big haul and a long time commitment to go over and play. So again, unless you got, you know, business reasons or family reasons to be there, the women's team is obviously a global draw as well. The ticket business is tough regardless. I mean, the men's game doesn't face a lot of these issues because of the global popularity of the sport. But, hopefully they get a lot of walk-ups. You know, a lot of people, realize that, hey, I can get tickets to see the U.S. women play. You might see a lot more of the New Zealand fans say, hey, go check a game out. You know, maybe it's going to be the last time you see some of those, top players for the women. And also, you're probably, hopefully watching some history as they make the run to their third consecutive Women's World Cup.
We wish them all the best. Lionel Messi has finally arrived in Miami. The GOAT, as noted by many, has finally arrived into Miami. And what an arrival it was. Packed stadium, 3.5 billion views globally. Jersey selling outside the stadium at $200 a pop, probably sold out left, right, and center. What a crazy event.
Well, you know, look, we had the emergency show a few weeks back when all this broke. And on Sunday was the culmination. I mean, obviously Messi arrived into Miami, went shopping at Publix. No one knew who he was. Maybe a few soccer fans recognized him. So he shopped in anonymity for a bit, and then walked out to for his unveiling on Sunday. And as you mentioned, 3.5 billion views. What was it? It was more views combined than the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, and the World Series, or something like that. I mean, it just goes to show you one, the global power of Messi and his brand. Two, the global power of the game. And look, let's not discount the fact that, the crescendo of this thing has been building and building and building, since the announcement, I'm going to Miami, in early June. So, you know, there's a lot of anticipation around this. And, you know, Mother Nature didn't quite cooperate. You know, we had a lot of heavy rain, but that certainly didn't dampen the spirits of the La Familia faithful down there in southern Florida. And they turned out to see, look, not only Messi, but I mean, Sergio Busquets, you know, was also unveiled as well. And so, you know, look, that's a team that, you know, made the playoffs last year, currently sitting in last place. Man, if there has ever been, you know, a time where you needed the GOAT, you know, it's now. And, you know, he's you know, he's teed up for his debut, I guess, this coming Friday in the
Friday, yeah.
Against Cruz Azul. So, you know, I can't remember if they ended up moving it to Hard Rock Stadium or not, but they could certainly sell 70,000 tickets to that game. You know, look, it's an exciting time for the game. It's going to raise the level of MLS. Certainly, the, you know, the global exposure of it. And we're reading, you know, all of the special, you know, the games that Inter Miami's playing. You know, Apple TV is now going to go from their normal 7 to 8 cameras to, you know, 18 cameras, so that they can cover every single angle. And there'll be one that will always be focused on Messi. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a massive, I won't call it Messi overload, but you're going to get a heavy dose of Lionel Messi. And for those that haven't, you know, watched him on a regular basis, I mean, you know, just understand that this is not a man whose skills have diminished. He just won the World Cup, was the best player at the World Cup. He just torched up, you know, in his friendlies. I mean, he is absolutely going to not disappoint, you know, the American soccer fan. And it will be interesting to see if he makes a little run, you know, here with Inter Miami. And so it's an exciting time, you know, for sure.
Who's going to make the Netflix style series?
I don't know. You know, it's probably coming.
Sure, has to come.
It's got to come. Something along those lines is coming. Maybe Apple has already, you know, inked that deal. You know, it's going to be, you know, available on Apple TV. But you know, look, it's a great boost for the club. You know, valuation of the club, you know, took a nice jump. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a nice commercial bump with him being, you know, on the club for the next 2 years, you know, as they head into their new stadium in the next 2 years.
I would 100% pay for Apple TV Plus to watch that series alone.
Yeah. Go from Ted Lasso to the GOAT, you know. That's a nice
small jump, I reckon. Small jump.
You know. You know, a little some fiction to reality, you know, but like it will be great theater. And I fully expect his first match to have some spectacular play. There will be some highlights that will draw you in. You know, I can only hope that he does what Zlatan did in his first game, you know, and literally just absolutely deliver the goal of the century in game one, and then just say you're welcome. Should be fun.
Will he be able to ever shop at Publix again the way he did last week?
Well, I don't know that those 3.5 billion people were all, you know, shopping in Publix in South Florida.
He's been introduced
now. I think people are going to have photos of him on their phone now, so he might be a little bit more recognizable. But you know, look, I'm excited. You know, for the club, I'm excited because obviously we've got a relationship with the sponsor on the front of the shirt. You know, we've been this was. Just a discussion as a possibility 3 years ago when that deal was signed. And then, so it's just kind of neat to see all this, kind of play itself out and come to fruition and deliver, you know, as big as we had thought, you know, for the brand, for the club, for the game. And so, just excited to see all of those things, work in a positive manner for Inter Miami and Messi. He seems, happy and comfortable, got a couple of his buds coming over with him. So, kind of a side story. I was traveling back on Saturday and they were in the same airport where I was in Charlotte because they were playing FC Charlotte. And I saw Frederico Higuain and I pulled Freddie over and I said, you realize this is the last time you guys can actually walk around in an airport and not get mobbed because, once the goat arrives, you guys aren't going to be flying commercial and in and out of regular gates with the common folk. You're going to be going into the private hangar on a charter plane. So,
For sure. It has to be. And there'll be a lot of black suits around too. So,
Yeah, probably a few.
Sponsor name. Come on.
XBTO.
There you go.
Yeah. Big day for them to be part of that, three and a half billion viewers. Leading up to this, there's been lots of pirated jersey sales that still have XBTO there. Like you mentioned, they were selling the authentic jerseys there at the stadium on Sunday. Fanatics immediately dropped the Messi custom jersey on their site. I've been kind of following it, trying to buy a Messi jersey, customize a Messi jersey ever since they announced, and it won't let you. It's not available. And then obviously Sunday night, boom, drops $194 Messi jersey, number 10. You get the, it's all there. I haven't got one yet. I have one coming.
Do we have a number yet on sales?
I haven't seen a number yet. No, I haven't seen the number, but we had run our analysis early on in this process, just from a valuation standpoint for the client, and let's just say that our numbers were somewhat conservative and still it was massive number. And yesterday and the viewership on this, just exceeded what anybody's expectations would be just for an announcement. I can only imagine what the numbers are going to look like on that first game, on Friday night. But we estimated that, Sunday's, event, generated about $3.5 million worth of, exposure value for XBTO, given their position as the primary sponsor on that shirt when it was being held up and presented to all the players introduced that night. But in general, that once the GOAT held up that pink number 10, it was lights out. I mean, it was that photograph moment. I mean, look, when we announced it, Bex is holding it up, and that was a pretty big deal. And it just got usurped by Lionel Messi holding up that kit on Sunday, and so for the brand, great exposure. It's a seminal moment, for the brand. I mean, that's a photo that's going to sit on the CEO's wall and it's making its way around the internet right now because you had the Beckham, the Moss brothers and Messi all right there together on stage. Pretty iconic moment and one that will probably continue to pop up on media and stuff moving forward because it's a great photo and it's the official beginning of his time with Inter Miami. And obviously we're all excited to see, where that journey goes over the next 2.5 years.
For sure. Staying in the MLS, this is some interesting news, actually. Well, when I first heard this, I wasn't shocked, but I was a bit surprised. The MLS is open to considering sovereign wealth fund investments. What a time to say that. When we know, like, with what Saudi Arabia is doing around the world, with what Qatar is doing, trying to buy Manchester United, with what they've done with the Monumental Group, the group that owns the, Qatar owns now a small percentage of that. I mean, what a crazy time. But this money that's going into sports is ridiculous. And then some more comments. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, obviously, said they're also, they could contemplate the idea at some point. Now, why the two? Why am I mentioning the two? Because a lot of NFL owners own MLS teams. So there's a bit of relationship there, which makes things really, really interesting. What's your outlook on things?
Well, you know, one of those rules in sports is, you know, money talks. And, you know, the they're seeing the valuations of these MLS clubs start to climb. Obviously, the last one in San Diego was a $500 million.
Egyptian billionaire.
Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, what was once an up and coming acquisition to get an MLS club for 25 or 30 million is now, last one that was sold without a stadium, you know, that required a stadium build was 325 million. And now you've got a $500 million fee paid for San Diego. If you want to keep expanding, there's only a certain amount of guys that can pay that number. We've covered the PIF and the sovereign wealth funds here on numerous occasions, given the moves they made in sport. So naturally, we can see them come here. You know, the NBA has talked about it. Obviously MLS is now discussing it. We've seen, the move that Ted Leonsis and Monumental made to bring in the Qatari fund. Timing wise, kind of interesting with Ronaldo's comments about how he opened the door to the Saudi league and top players are coming here, that the MLS is still a retirement league. The Saudis, have always, not been afraid to elevate with their wallets. So if they come over here and, get involved in MLS, maybe we do see, more European players coming over here, because obviously the dynamics around Messi are going to expand the eyeballs. I think that the infrastructure and the salary structure of the league may take a jump. And if that takes place, a Saudi a sovereign wealth ownership group. I mean, we've talked with some other, billionaire groups that are interested in the growth of U.S. Soccer in the U.S. It's going to take some ownership groups with deep pockets, to start meeting those demands at this level. You're right. There's some natural cross promotion there with, Arthur Blank owning Atlanta, and you've got David Tepper owning Charlotte. You've got Seattle, I think, owned. Having ownership. Yeah, there's a few of them, but there will be some crossover. And look, I think Roger Goodell also leans that way. Not as much about U.S., but as they expand, and if they expand into Europe, then that's a natural play for sovereign wealth money to come in and, get a franchise in London or get a franchise in Germany or Spain or somewhere else. Let's not rule out one in Riyadh or Dubai or Abu Dhabi, because it's only money. So it could happen.
My money is on Qatar, actually.
Yeah, well, the Qataris have been, obviously very aggressive, with their soccer acquisitions, on the global scale. So, it would just be a natural move. to get involved here, and you know, maybe that we see them, you know, start, you know, making some moves, you know, throughout, you know, North America. We are kind of hosting the World Cup. Yeah. Qatar Airways is all over the, you know, it was all over the Gold Cup. So Qatar was in the, it was in CONCACAF. Go figure. Talking about, you know, a buy-in. One hell of a buy-in.
Champions League 2022 World Cup. They're all over football. All right. Yeah. Let's keep going. Staying in football. Well, it's been a big football episode, actually. Football / soccer. Paramount Plus agrees to a 20 million euro per season shirt sponsorship with Inter Milan. So just some background story. For the Champions League final last year, there was a reported 10 million euro deal, like a once-off branding opportunity with Paramount Plus as well, which is interesting with its own right, within its own right. What's the play here? Is Paramount trying to move into the Italian market or the European market, or what is the play here?
Well, I mean, you know, look, the streaming play is certainly something that's out there. You know, my guess is, you know, is this a kind of a preemptive, you know, opportunity for Paramount to you know, find some more programming for their streaming channel? Do they want to, you know, do some creative, you know, as we talked about with Inter Miami, what's the Apple TV, you know, series that's going to come out of it? You know, Inter Milan is, you know, obviously got some U.S. You know, affiliated ownership to it. The, you know, obviously we've got some Americans that have made the move over to Serie A. So, you know, the guess is there's going to be some more American eyeballs on that league. But you know, Paramount's got some, you know, some good programming, and maybe they are looking to expand that streaming subscription base, you know, into Europe. And look, you know, soccer is it. If you're gonna, you know, make your name over in Europe right now, I mean, it's get on a kit or get involved with a with a club. You know, you've got, you know, sleeves or front of kit. You know, find a way to expose your brand to, you know, a global, you know, billions of eyeballs that are consuming the sport. And you know, that's, you know, so that's kind of my thought there. But, you know, again, I haven't read anything that says, hey, you know, Paramount's coming out with a new you know, Hard Knocks series, you know,
not yet.
Yeah, but you know, heck, the writer strike is going on. You're going to need some programming, and there's nothing like some live content, you know, from a club you sponsor.
For sure. Interesting to see how that deal plays out. It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big number, good number, and yeah, you know, number. Obviously they had what was it, Digibet, that was
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they lost a crypto partner off the front of the kit, so. You know, Paramount's a, you know, a safe, you know, safe brand, if you will, not going anywhere. So, you know, carries a little bit of cachet to it. So, you know, got to clean it up and see where it goes. But I think it's interesting that you're seeing, you know, streaming channels take that role. I mean, you know, was that, you know, what will follow? So it should be interesting.
Let's keep an eye out on that one. We'll keep going. Last one. The Suns and the Phoenix Mercury games are going to be broadcasted free to up to 3 million homes in the local Phoenix area, your hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, in my opinion, a great move. Moves away from the paywall. Get the brand back in front of people, as many people as possible. And why not? And attract more people to games, yeah, and merchandise and TV, and, you know,
absolutely. Well, yeah, that was, you know, certainly one of the, you know, the commitments, you know, that Matt Ishbia, when he, you know, took over as owner, is that, you know, he wanted to, you know, he wanted Suns fans to be able to watch the Suns, you know, in the Mercury, you know, at any time, you know, so put it on pay, regular TV. We've seen the Bally relationship disintegrate. They just disintegrated the deal with the Diamondbacks this week as well. And so, you know, leaving them with one sports team, you know, and all of their holdings. So I think it's a great move, because now, you know, as a club, as an organization, you know, they can attach, you know, their media, you know, directly to their partnership. So, I mean, as opposed to, you know, selling sponsorships and having to, only have a limited inventory, because now, you know, he's paying for it. It's the time, he's selling the ad space. And, now there'll be, you know, complete synergies across sponsor and broadcast. And as do you mention, I mean, look, this is a critical time for the Suns. You know, they're coming off, finals run, and then a semi, knocked out in the semifinals, and then another, semifinal loss to the eventual champ. Kevin Durant's not getting any younger. Booker is in his prime. You've seen you've traded Chris Paul. You've got Bradley Beal. You've got, you just traded away Cam Payne. You signed Bol Bol. You're trying to build an organization and a team that can make a run, because, Denver is looking good. You've got the Warriors are retooling. You've got, Sacramento as a team on the rise. You obviously got, the Celtics and the Sixers and, in the East, and obviously Miami, continues to just, they just keep showing up in finals. Sorry, they got a great organization. So, when you've got the capability and the vision that Matt Ishbia has when he took over this club, it's a big win for the fans, to be able to, access, those games, on regular TV. And I think, while it will help the Suns, I think it really helps the Mercury brand, you can get more exposure for the women's game. That's a big commitment there as well. And I think you'll see some better broadcast times, because they were kind of getting stuck on it early afternoons, and, try to make it, a great time where you can watch it, but also it's a good time for fans to get there as well.
Well, now it becomes his platform. I mean, he can,
do whatever he wants. Yeah,
exactly. So they can customize and move things and alter things to suit their fan base.
Yeah. Brought to you by United Home Mortgage.
Exactly. All right. Sounds awesome. Big one today. Lots to share, lots to talk about, as usual. Always a blast. Before we wrap things up, you got any final words for us?
Obviously, big week for coming off All-Star break. We're getting ready for Lionel Messi to debut. We've got the rosters. We're a couple weeks away from NFL camp starting over here. We're seeing summer wind down, for the most part. We're kind of getting into the final grind here. So, we just had the third youngest Wimbledon champion, yesterday and Alvarez. So it's an exciting time. We're seeing, young stars emerge in sport. We're seeing, really aggressive, business plays in the world of sport. We're seeing, some transactional. We've got a Women's World Cup that'll start, that'll hit the pitch this week. It's a great business. It's a great time of year. We always kind of chuckle that, we never get any days off. But, why would you want days off when you've got, great stuff like this? And, live sports is, is going to be king for a while now that we've got a writer's strike in Hollywood. There's no new content coming out, so nothing like live sports to give you some entertainment. And for you and I, it gives us some great topics to talk about, you know, in the world of sport, because you know, we'll start seeing some you know, some new deals, you know, get announced. We're gonna we're hearing about you know, some transactions that percolating out there around some venues, possible venue, you know, entitlement changes, some front of shirt deals that are working their way around. Our plate will be full, my friend. And, you know, the Messi train is here. Excited to really watch that, you know, a generational talent on our soil playing the world's game is going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Sounds very exciting and very promising. Lots of talk about moving forward. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Rob, as always. It's an absolute pleasure. Take care, everyone. Peace out.
All right, my friend.